Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Hope you've all had an awesome week. We're going to continue, actually, from part of where we left off last week. If you listened to last week's show, and again, I want to remind you that if you want to hear any of the shows going back to 2009, or if you want to review just last week's show, if you go to www.giftofgraceministries.org, that's giftofgraceministries.org, there's a Gift of Grace radio tab. And when you click on that, you'll have all the radio shows archived going back through 2009. So I don't know how many shows are there, but if you start in 2009 and listen to them in order, it'll probably take quite a while, because for the first quite a few years, they were an hour long. For the last about 4 years, they've been half an hour long. But if you want to go back and review last week's show, that would be great. And we did a lesson last week that started out in Matthew 12, about where Jesus talks about you have to answer for every idle word at your judgment. Every idle word is brought into the judgment. And then we shifted over to John chapter 5, where the good news of the passage was that if you believe in him, meaning Jesus, and believe in him who sent him, meaning the Father, you do not enter into the judgment. And so that's the good news of the new covenant. That's the good news of grace. That's the good news of the gospel. And so at the end of that passage that we did, starting at about starting in verse 45, and this is going to lead into what we're going to talk about. Do not think, this is Jesus talking to the people around him, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Moses will accuse them. Moses wrote about him. If you can't figure out what Moses wrote about, how will you believe him? So, I'm sorry, that was my scratch that last part. That was what I was going to say. It was not part of the scripture. I didn't make that clear. So he says Moses is going to accuse them. He says, you know, he implies, well, he says, not implies, he says, Moses wrote about me. If you notice, whenever Jesus does a Bible study, especially after the resurrection, it says in the gospel that beginning with Moses and the prophets, he points out everything that was about him. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus, you know, Abraham tells the rich man that if you don't believe Moses and the prophets, you won't believe that someone could rise from the dead. And this has been an important part of my teaching over many years now, is that the Old Testament, the Tanakh, is not just a part of the Bible that doesn't matter anymore, because it always matters. All of Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. God literally breathes out the word, so the word is a living, breathing word. No other book is like that. And that includes the Old Testament, the Tanakh, as well as the New Testament. And so, you're probably tired of me saying, those of you that know me, if you start to study the Bible in Matthew 1:1, number one is you miss two-thirds of the Bible. And number two is you don't understand who Jesus actually was and what he came to do, because you don't see the types and the shadows, the prefigurements that come before him, which are all written about by Moses. And we have just these few examples, Jesus using so many examples of Moses writing about him. So he tells these same group of leaders, you search the scriptures looking for eternal life, and that's great that you do it, but all the scriptures testify of me. Literally means all the scrolls are about me. So it all points to him. The plan unfolds through the whole scripture. And so he tells these people that the Father sent him. The Father is a witness. He and the Father are two witnesses to what he's saying is true. That if you believe, you will not come into the judgment, because salvation is by faith. It's by grace through faith. So if you believe him and him who sent him, you will not come into the judgment. And then he says, you know, you guys are pretty hepped up about Moses. You know, you love Moses and you read Moses all the time, and you read through the Torah in a year at the synagogue. Every week you read a parasha, which is a portion of the Torah, and you believe all that stuff. But he, Moses, is going to accuse you before the Father, because if you believe Moses, you would believe me. In other words, you're giving great lip service to Moses, but if you really thought about what he was saying, you would believe what I'm saying. They searched and studied the scriptures, but they didn't understand it. And so he basically says, Moses will rise to condemn you. Moses is going to rise to condemn them. Now, that's kind of an interesting concept, that somebody would rise up to condemn them. That someone who is already dead, and at this time, of course, Jesus is seeing Moses, who shortly will be in heaven, somehow Moses will stand in condemnation of these people. And then he goes on in that same chapter, but we're going to use a parallel chapter. I'm going to switch over from Matthew 12 to Luke 11. Matthew 12 has this account too, but I think Dr. Luke kind of, he says it in a, more powerful way. And in Luke 11, starting in 29, he says, and while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign. No sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. Woo. So, what's he talking about here? First of all, we see the power here of resurrection. This is the resurrection was the great sign that everything that he says is true. It was the most convincing point. They had seen a lot of signs. They wanted more signs. The Greek that's used there means they were a confused crowd. They didn't really know what they want. It says that they were seeking a sign. And the word that's used there for seeking in the Greek means an intense inquiry. In other words, they were really, really looking for a sign. They really wanted a sign. So Jesus' response to this is, you're an evil generation. They weren't there to be converted. They weren't there to understand salvation. They weren't there to understand the scriptures. They were there because they wanted to see some interesting things. They wanted to see some powerful signs. Maybe they wanted something that they could talk about later with their friends. Oh, yeah, you know, I was there. I saw it. Yeah, I was there. And wow, that was really cool that you were there. Yeah, I saw the whole thing. You know, topic of conversation. But Jesus condemns this as evil. Condemns this as evil. Says the only sign you're going to have is the sign of Jonah. Now, what was that? Well, the prophet Jonah, if you've never read the book of Jonah, you should read it. It's very short. It's only 4 chapters. And like every other book, it has very powerful lessons in it. But you know, Jonah rebels against God, then he's cast into the sea, and he goes into a great fish. Doesn't say it's a whale, says it's a great fish. And he's in the belly of the whale for 3 days. 3 days. This is the sign of Jonah. 3 days in the belly of the whale. In another place, Jesus will say, Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, and the Son of Man will be in the bowels of the earth for 3 days. Then he's thrown alive onto the shore. He preaches to this great city of Nineveh, and they repent. Nineveh is a Gentile city. It's in present-day Iraq. It was a great Gentile city. It was a huge city. It took 3 days to walk across it. Now, that's a big city. That would be a big city even in today's terms, but it's a huge city. And Jonah went there and preached to a great Gentile city, and they repented. And in a parallel to that, Jesus, as Messiah, he suffered and he died for sin. Then he rose. And after he rose, the gospel went out into the Gentile world. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, the great fish, 3 days, he goes out onto the shore. He preaches to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are converted. Jesus, as Messiah, suffers, spends 3 days in the earth, rises, and then the gospel goes out to the Gentiles. So he's saying, the Son of Man is the sign for that generation. He is the sign. They shouldn't be looking for other signs. But they spoke against the sign. They spoke against him. The people in Nineveh listened to Jonah, and they believed him. Even the king fasted, put on sackcloth and ashes. The animals were mourning and mourning whatever they used. Even the animals mourned. Even the animals fasted. There was a great fast in the whole city, and the city was spared. The warning was, you'll be destroyed if you don't believe me. They believed him, and they were saved. The warning to the Gentiles, I'm sorry, the warning to the people Jesus is talking to is, repent and believe me, or you'll be perished. You'll be destroyed. But they don't believe, and they don't accept the sign. So he says, well, then he goes to the Queen of the South. Let's finish this off, too. Queen of the South is the Queen of Sheba. Now, she was obviously a very colorful person. She was from roughly the area of Ethiopia. She was not an Israelite, obviously. She was African. And she went to Jerusalem to see the splendor of the temple and to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And she believed in this before she went. She went from far away to hear the wisdom of Solomon and to see the splendor of Solomon. Now, Jesus points out that he is greater than Solomon. One greater than Solomon is here. One greater than the temple is here. But you people in this evil generation don't recognize that. You don't recognize who I am. You don't recognize that I am the sign. You don't recognize that I am here so that you can repent and you will not be destroyed. And it wasn't just a spiritual destruction. In the year 70, which was roughly 35 years later, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The people were exiled from the land until really the late 1940s. There were some people in the land before that, but minuscule numbers. People didn't really start arriving there till World War II ended and after the horrible Holocaust. And it wasn't until 1948 that there were enough people there to declare the state of Israel. So he says, I'm greater than Solomon, greater than the temple, and you don't recognize me. So not only does that affect you personally in terms of what's going to happen to you personally if you don't repent of your sin, but it's also going to affect your physical existence in this place because your city and your temple are going to be destroyed. And he says to them, you know, she came to hear Solomon. Well, I have way more wisdom than Solomon. I have way more knowledge than Solomon. You should be listening to me. You should be understanding the knowledge I have. You should, in fact, be worshiping me, but you speak against me. You speak against the sign. The Ninevites accepted the sign. The Queen of Sheba accepted the wisdom of Solomon and the splendor of the temple. And I'm greater than all those things, and you speak against me. So he says, when you are judged, the Queen of the South is going to rise and condemn you. So in summary, we have Moses rising to condemn them. Moses is the giver of the law. He's the mediator of the old covenant, the covenant of law. He is going to rise to condemn these people who are living in that covenant of law and pride themselves in how well they follow that law. Well, the lawgiver, the mediator, the one that they have the most respect for, Moses, is going to rise to condemn them at the judgment. The Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, is going to arise to condemn them at the judgment. Then he goes back to the Ninevites. He says, they repented at the teaching of Jonah. They repented, a great Gentile city. Now one greater than Jonah is here with greater preaching, greater teaching, all authority in heaven and earth, as he's going to say later, sent by the Father. The Father witnesses that what I'm doing is true. There are signs and wonders showing that what I'm doing is true. They also witness. And there'll be a greater judgment if you don't listen and accept, greater than the destruction of Nineveh would have been, both personally and physically, but you speak against the sign. You're not impressed. The whole generation, for the most part, will turn away from me, but they won't turn away from how they're living their life. And this, of course, is true in our time. We reject the sign, who is Jesus. He's the sign of every generation, not just that one. This generation that we're living in now, which Peter called it the perverse generation, Peter had no idea what the 21st century Western society was going to be. But just look around. This generation's not impressed by Jesus as the sign, as the way out of this trouble. In fact, they go out of their way to condemn him. They go out of their way to take him out of the public square. They go out of the way to not include him in anybody's life. They go out of their way to silence his voice, because his voice is the answer to the problem. His voice is the way out of the condemnation and judgment that we're in now. That generation he was talking to wouldn't turn away. They wouldn't turn to him. They would speak against him. They don't turn away from the things that they're doing because they like the way that they're living. They want to live independently. They don't want to listen to somebody talk. They don't want to listen to somebody who's going to tell them that They need to repent from the way they're living. The people of Nineveh heard Jonah saying, you need to repent from the way that you're living, and they fasted and repented. So Jesus points out, at the day of judgment, the people of Nineveh are going to stand up along with this generation that he's talking to, and they are going to condemn that generation. Remember, first, in what we talked about last week in John 5, he says, Moses will convict you. Moses will accuse you to the Father. Moses will. Then he says, the men of Nineveh will rise up to condemn you. The Queen of the South will rise up to condemn you. Because one greater than Jonah, one greater than the Queen of the South, one greater than Solomon, one greater than the temple, one greater than anything that they realized was there standing in front of them, and they spoke against him. They spoke a sign against him. And he's also implying that these are the people that should know, like Paul tells us in Romans. These are the people that should know. They had the covenant. They were the only people that had the covenant. They had the scriptures. They were the only people that had the divinely inspired scriptures. They had revelations. God revealed himself to prophets in so many different ways. And then they had the Messiah. But they weren't impressed with this. Oh, they liked the miracles, but that was all they were impressed with. They rejected him and turned away. They won't repent. He was the ultimate sign. You know, in the first chapter of Hebrews, the writer tells us that in times past, God spoke through the prophets, and everybody got part of the revelation, and you know, they put all these things together and had some understanding. But he says, in these latter days, in these end times, God speaks through his Son, who's the ultimate revelation. So Jesus is here telling these people that he is the ultimate sign, he is the ultimate revelation. The resurrection is the ultimate sign that everything he did and said was true. But they talked against the sign. They turned away from the sign. They didn't want anything to do with the sign. The leaders told the people he was not the sign. He was not Messiah. He was not even a prophet. Because they said, has any prophet ever come from Galilee? And they made him a stumbling block. Because they told people, as we know from reading the other Gospels, they told people that if you followed him, if you believed in what he was saying, you would be thrown out of the synagogue. Now, in the, I don't know where we are, first quarter of the 21st century, you could be thrown out of most churches for believing what he said. Not for not believing what he said, but for believing what he said. We've come full circle. So are the men of Nineveh going to rise in judgment against this generation? Yes. Is the Queen of the South going to rise in judgment against this generation? Yes. This is the perverse generation, far more perverse than what Peter was talking about Pentecost morning, that now we've turned away, we've talked against the sign, we don't want to know anything about the sign. So we even condemn people in the church who believe in the sign. We have gone more than full circle. Jesus said this is an evil generation. They want signs, but they don't look at me. They don't understand me. They don't listen to me. They don't believe me. They don't understand who I am. And just like he talked about Moses wrote about him, he's telling us that today, too. If you want to study through the Torah and through the prophets, you see manifestations of Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus, all through those writings, what he was going to be like, what he was going to do, how salvation was going to come, Yes, it's all in there, all how salvation was going to come, and even that the Gentiles would be included in the kingdom, that the kingdom wouldn't just be for Israel. Ooh, time is ticking down. I know the music is playing. So anyway, thanks for listening, and I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. I hope you come back next week when we'll read and teach God's word and we'll proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. Have an awesome week. A covenant ring, a hand raised in prayer.